About an hour east of, I think it's about an hour east of Disney World, is a place called Serpentarium. Anybody ever hear of that place? It's called, you've been there. It's called Serpentarium. Now, you can imagine what's in there. The place is full of reptiles, but mostly snakes. Lots of snakes. And the guy that owns the place, it's not a real big place, but the gentleman who owns it does this for a living. He raises these snakes, and virtually every poisonous snake on the planet is in this building. And so it's kind of creepy. But every day, but he has a business, and his business is mainly to milk these snakes. I mean, he does collect money from visitors like us, but his main business is milking these snakes. And these are all poisonous snakes. So if you ever got bit by a poisonous snake and you went into the hospital, there's an antidote. Now, this antidote comes from men like him milking these snakes, and then they take this venom and they send this venom to Australia, of all places, and they inject small amounts of it into sheep. There's a lot of sheep in Australia, but apparently they're very good at this. And they inject a small amount. Well, the sheep then, it's just a small amount, they produce antibodies. And then they take the blood and they separate the antibodies, and this becomes your antidote. And so it's a very expensive process, but when you're bitten by one of the real serious snakes, it's life or death. So hopefully there's a hospital, and of course in Florida, where, you know, about everything in Florida will bite you or eat you or sting you. You know, I mean, this is a crazy place to live, believe me. But I'm thankful we have guys like this creepy guy that takes care of all these. And he is pretty creepy because he's been bit so many times, his hands and his arms are sort of deformed. So when I think about that, I get a little creeped out with snakes, but I think, well, why would we need to learn something about these snakes? Why would we need to develop some trait that these snakes have? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And verse 16. Okay, in 10, and Christ said, now he's about to send his disciples out, and he says, in verse 16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So there is this element to serpents or snakes that we actually need. We need to be wise as serpents. It seems like an odd combination. Maybe there was another animal he could have picked, but that's the one, wise as serpents. Let's go to Genesis 3 and verse 1. Where we read our first encounter with a serpent, where we are told in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. So this element of serpents is an element that we're supposed to have, because we are, as those disciples were, we are sheep out into the world, and we are among wolves, are we not? I mean, is any time in my lifetime that I see predators, human predators on people, either commercial predators or, you know, criminals. Our young people are subject to this. The internet, you know, social media, and all the things that a person can become taken advantage of. We are literally sheep in a world of wolves. So Christ tells us to be wise as serpents, but yet harmless as doves. So why do we need to be like snakes? What makes these snakes so cunning? Well, snakes are very wary. If you've ever traveled and done hiking, say, in an area where there are poisonous snakes, they try to avoid you. They tell you this. Hikers know this. That, you know, you stay on the path, there's a good chance you're not going to encounter a snake. unless you're really looking for them, because then you know where to look. And if they see you, snakes are very cunning. They want to get, they regard us as dangerous, and so they want to get out of our way. So we need to have that. We need to recognize danger, and it's getting more and more difficult to do that. Snakes are very observant. They have senses that we don't have. They can sense vibrations. So when they're looking for prey, snakes can sense vibration of their prey. Like a mouse makes a certain noise, even a heartbeat. Snakes are very attuned to that. They have a very keen sense of smell. They're very observant. They're very cunning. Now, how would that translate into human activity? Let's go to an example we find in Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and in verse 6. Now, Paul has been arrested. He's going before the council, and he's going to have to explain himself. And he goes before the council, and he says in verse 6, "But when Paul perceived that one part of this council were Sadducees and one part were Pharisees, he cried out into the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. Concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged.'" So just by making that statement, now why did he make that statement to start off his argument? Because he knew something about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he knew the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to tell it, because you probably wouldn't get it. You've heard it a million times. You have the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So Paul, knowing this, he brings this as his leading thing. I am here being judged on the, and he knew the Pharisees were, there would be this dissension, so there was. And so Paul was very cunning in this by observing those that had taken him and had brought him before under charges. And he knew the difference existed there. So that's one, and there's many, many biblical examples of this kind of cunning behavior, this kind of intelligent, observing behavior. Now, we are also told to be as harmless as doves. That's maybe a little easier. Doves aren't creepy. I mean, I live in the country, and I live on a farm, and the doves, we have these doves in the morning. They can be rather annoying because they want to wake you up. And so they have these cooing sounds they make, and it's the most pleasant thing. It's like they're saying, "John, it's time to get up. John, coo, wake up." It's crazy. It's not creepy. It's wonderful. Doves, I mean, who doesn't like a dove? You know, I understand in some states they hunt them, but I mean, I couldn't shoot a dove. You know, I think I'd rather starve than shoot a dove. They're just so beautiful. But they're harmless, and they're very friendly. And so, you know, what is the first thing you think of when you think of a dove? You don't think of something dangerous, something offensive, something threatening. I mean, you would feel threatened by a snake, but would you ever feel threatened by a dove? Even if one landed on my head, I don't think I would feel threatened by it. The first example of doves found in Genesis 8, let's turn there. And we begin in verse 8. Now the flood is past, and Noah is there. The ark has lighted on top of Mount Ararat, and Noah has sent out a dove, and he sent out himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the earth. So he put out his hand and drew her into the ark himself. And he waited another 7 days, and he sent the dove out from the ark again. And when the dove came back to him in the evening, behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the flood had ended, which was, you know, God's wrath, his retribution, had ended. And ever since then, this symbol of a dove with an olive branch in her mouth has been what? It's been a symbol of peace. Now, this particular dove and the olive branch in her mouth, anybody recognize it? Well, there's two places you can find it. One is on top of this building. On the outside, there's a weather vane, and I put that up 11 years ago, and I made it an exact duplicate of this. But the original is found on Mount Vernon, which is Washington's home in Mount Vernon, Virginia. And Washington wanted himself as president and his estate, he wanted this to be representation of this country, an olive, a dove of peace, an olive branch symbolizing peace and reconciliation. This is normally in the lobby. You may see it when you come in. So doves are harmless. They're guileless. You don't think of them as being threatening. The whole point of becoming like a dove or being like a dove is those that perceive us in public, not just our friends, but people we encounter that don't know us. They should get a sense, a vibe from us that, you know, we're gentle, we're harmless. We have to be wise, but we can hide that. We don't have to show that we're, you know, we can't get too close to you. You might be evil. No, we treat all people with respect and dignity, and we present ourselves as being harmless and not threatening. There are many examples in the Bible of this. One of my favorites is found in Genesis 50. If you'll turn there, Genesis chapter 50. Now, you know the story of Joseph and what happened to him. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And you know the whole story. They end up in Egypt, and they end up, he is like second in command of all Egypt. And now they're really worried because their father, Jacob, has passed away. And Jacob, of course, has told Joseph, you know, be forgiving to your brothers. So Genesis chapter 50 and in verse 17, this is the approach of Joseph. So they sent a messenger. His brothers were so worried, they sent a messenger to Joseph. And the message was, you know, your father has told you, well, let me just read it. Say, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers for their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of your God, your father. And Joseph, when they told him that, he wept. He cried. He's like, you know, you think, what do you think of me? But he was not that way. He was harmless as a dove. His approach to them was, Joseph said, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to save and bring it about to this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, don't be afraid. I'm as harmless as the dove. He didn't say that, but that's what he was. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. It was in his power to do whatever he wanted. Pharaoh would have backed him up, whatever he did. He could have taken revenge, but that just wasn't in him. Joseph is quite an individual. I really look forward to meeting him. So, brethren, as Christ has instructed us, We are like sheep in a world full of wolves. Lots of dangers out there. Let's be wise and crafty, avoiding danger, especially spiritual dangers, things that can get us into trouble spiritually. There's many, many sidetracks in society today. I think there always has been, but I think especially for young people, school-age folks, those of you in school, you know what I'm talking about. Let's be very crafty, cunning, knowing these dangers. And at the same time, let's be harmless as doves, gentle, easy to love, quick to forgive, and always seeking peace and reconciliation with those whom we encounter.